This is a Sunday morning service at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is the pastor, James Hamblin. Trust in this service will be a blessing in your heart as you worship together with us by means of this tape. We're grateful for you and just pray that this will be a bright spot in your life as you listen to the singing and the messages, testimonies, by the layman of our church. Today is Baptist Men's Day. God bless you. This time our adult men are going to be singing a song that says, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." Trust you pray for us as we sing. Glad today to have Brother Lyndon Skaggs to come and give us a word of testimony. While he's coming up, I'd like to mention his prayer request. We are going to be much in prayer this week for two of our members who are in college right now, Steve Clemens and Wally Bellis, also our boys who are in service. Bobby Causey and Tim and Mike Napier and others that we know that are in one of the branches of the armed services. We also want to be praying this week for Ms. Lane's two brothers and also for Ms. Laura Hurt's two brothers. We're going to continue to pray for Ms. Hanks' daughter who lost a husband. I know God's certainly with her. And God does not leave us when we go down through valleys. He can be even more precious to us even down in the valley than up on the mountaintop. Let's be praying for these listed here in our bulletin that are ill in body today. You know, God's certainly able to bless each one of these. And we thank God for what He's done in each one of our lives this week as we've kept our eyes upon Him. Brother Landon, you come and give us the word, brother.
Morning. Good to be here this morning. Get my notes out here. Can't do much without notes. I've got something, first of all, I'd like to read to you. This is, says Dr. W.D. Nolan. This is a pastor who was in Florida. He had a young man in his church who was a Sunday school superintendent. Everyone seemed to like him. And once he opened his own business, and soon he began to prosper. He was doing quite well. But then he became so busy that he gave up his church work. And soon he just quit coming altogether. So his preacher came to see him. And this is what he says to him. He says, "John, I'm worried about you. You've been missing the church services. You seem to be losing interest in God's work." And so he said, "Well," says, I've been real busy. I've got these stores, and they're doing well, and I just stay so busy all the time that it's just hard to come." So the preacher said to him, "John, let's kneel in prayer." So they knelt down, and the pastor prayed, and this is what he prayed. He said, "Dear Lord, you've prospered John too much. You've given him too much business. He's had too much success. Dear Lord, for John's sake, burn down some of his stores. Let some of them fail. Take some of his business so that we can have the same John we used to have." So the young man, John, got the message. And so he knelt down and he asked forgiveness of God, and he came back to church. And he started doing again those things that he had been doing for the Lord. The idea here is that if we start going off and doing the things that we want to be doing, God has ways of bringing us back. Now, they may not always be things they'll be bad things a lot of times. God will allow bad things to happen in our lives to bring us back where He wants us to be. You know, in my personal life, God has always been good to me. I've always had a good job. I'm thankful for that. I've always made a good living. It seems like that everything that I've done, I've prospered in. And I'm thankful for that. So I, in a way, I feel that I've got something in common with John. I've always worked for the other man, but I've done reasonably well. And I'm thankful. I thank him for it. But I want to tell you about something that happened in my life that was a failure. That is a failure in the eyes of man. About 3 years ago, I had some extra money that I invested in a business. And it didn't make it. It failed. And I lost the money that I put into it, and I lost the time that I put into it. So in our eyes, that was a failure. But I learned some things through that I want to tell you about. I learned a new attitude toward money. I learned that money is of this world. We can have it one day and it'll be gone the next. We can't depend upon it. It's nice to have it for a sense of security, but yet we can lose it very easily. And I learned to be more content with that which I have. There's a couple of verses in the Bible I'd like to read. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I learned to be more content with that which I have. God's blessed me. I should be happy with that which I have. But another verse that means more to me is Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as we have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As long as we have the Lord, we've got all we need. Now, it's nice to have things of this world, but we're not going to keep them always. And this verse says that, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's oh so true. God never lies. He will always be with us and he'll never forsake us. God has a way of taking an earthly loss and turning it into a spiritual gain. He's got a way of taking a defeat in this world and turning it into a victory for him. And as I went through that business failure, I believe that I grew to depend upon him more. He was taking that loss and that defeat here, and he was helping me to look to him more and to pray to him more and just depend on him more for everything. Now, we all go through good times and bad times, but God uses those bad times, those valleys that Brother James mentioned. He helps us to grow as Christians during those times. And he'll use those times to bring us back where he wants us to be. So this morning I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I know Jesus. And I know the love of God that passes all understanding. And the last verse I read is in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. No matter what happens to us, it may look bad. We may feel that we're going down in defeat. But yet, we know that in God's eyes, this is right. This is what needs to be done. And so we should give thanks in whatever happens to us. And we can look at the positive things that come out of it. And we can grow as Christians.
Last hymn, let's turn to page 371. The kingdom is coming. Let's sing all three verses. Let's stand on this one. First and last verse. Thank you.
Brother Jerry, would you lead us in prayer, brother?
Our Heavenly Father, bless this morning here today. Father, for a special blessing on the message that you've given today. Father, bless each one that they give a part of their life to you and make it up. In Christ's name. Amen.
This time, Brother Tom, you and Brother Fred come to sing for us. And after this, Brother Kermit will be giving the message. I would like to invite you out tonight to the evening service. Brother Tom Boggs is going to be speaking for us this evening, and Brother Roger Toler will be giving a testimony. So we got a lot to look forward to today.
Kermit wanted us to sing until 12 o'clock so he wouldn't have to get up here, but we're not going to do that. Just going to sing part of it. Tom, congratulations again today.
Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near? Entrance within demanding, who is a voice?
extending the invitation now. I guess James will have another one after this over with, but we're doing good already. Tom forgot his glasses.
Today to have Brother Kermit Combs, the chairman of our deacons here at our church, to give us the message today, and after this we'll have the invitation hymn. Brother Kermit will be praying for you. God bless you.
Well, it's good to see so many of you out this morning, and hopefully something that I say will be worth the trip out. We're going to talk in Ephesians this morning, Ephesians chapter 4. This is Paul, and Paul is concerned with the relationship that he has with the Lord. Paul is talking. Paul is the writer of the book, and he's talking here when he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewithin ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended, in the same also that ascended up from above, far
up far above all heavens, that he might feel all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Paul considered himself a prisoner. You know, a prisoner is the person that has to do the bidding, the work, what have you, for the master. Paul, therefore, did not allow any room between himself and the Lord. Paul is telling us here that he is totally committed to our Lord and to the work of the Lord. That is the driving force in his life. Paul said, for me to live is all right, but it's a gain for Christ as long as I'm here. He was totally committed in body and thought to the work of the Lord and to himself being perfected in God. Paul allowed no room. There was no time in Paul's life for anything else other than God. God was first. And that's what Paul is telling us today. In this matter of love, it can be a word or it can be an action. In this matter of love, it has to have some action to it. We have to be active in love. Saying it is one thing, but when we look out and people are able to see what we're doing, it falls short when we put the measuring stick up. Paul is saying that I am this committed. Maybe you can't be. But you see, Paul also tells us about what he was like before he got to this point in his life. See, Paul wasn't always to this point in life to where he was this committed to God. Paul pursued the Christians to put them to death with the same zeal that he was now pursuing people to get them to come to know the Lord. Paul, back when he was Saul, before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, was going out to get him another load of Christians so that he could put them to death. Paul did not want Christianity to exist upon the face of the earth. He believed that everybody owed their allegiance and all that they had to the king, to the kingdom, to the government, and he didn't want to have nothing to do with his Christianity. Paul's conversion is called one of the greatest conversions that we know of, because with the same, whatever he done, he put his all into it. When he was going to get Christians, he went with all that was in him to get Christians. When he turned to Jesus, Paul was put in prison. Paul was beat. Paul had to be lowered out of the wall to save his life. But in all that Paul did, he was totally committed to the Lord. He talked to people. He started churches. He wrote letters. We're looking at some of his letters. In all that Paul did and could do, he did for the betterment of God. When he turned, he turned. He didn't take some of that was behind with him. He didn't look back. He never went back to revisit. Paul turned from sin and turned to God and became totally committed to God. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's a calling that we have, to hold one another up. Maybe we're not as great as the Apostle Paul. Maybe our determination is not as great as Paul's. Maybe we can't be the great apostle that Paul was, but we can be like Paul in turn, and when we accept the Lord, and as we have received the Lord as our personal Savior, truly knowing and believing that the time will come when we're going to go home to be with the Lord, that with the same zeal that Paul pursued the Lord, we can do that. Others can see us and know that we are a Christian. And I think that's important, that we're not here today and that what we see tomorrow, people see us doing things or in predicaments, that others would not be able to see Christ in us. In all that Paul did, you could see Christ once he turned. He says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. We've been called. By and large, most of the folks here this morning have accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. We've asked Him to come into our hearts and our lives. We've asked Him to lead and direct us. We've asked the Lord to take us as His child. And we want us to realize that we're not carnal Christians anymore. That we've now, you know, we don't need just the milk anymore. We should be up now to where we can take the meat, to where we can really take the word, to where we can be concerned about ourselves and those about us. Having gotten in, having accepted the Lord, do we have someone on our heart that we're concerned about? Are we worried about those that have not? Does it bother us when we see people or read in the paper about people that are not doing the things that God would have us to do? We should be moved as Christians. As Christian people, Paul wanted the right thing. He wanted people to all come to know his Lord. And we want all people to come to know our Lord. And we want to do what we can, and we can all stand up here and speak. Probably a lot of you do it a lot better than I can, but a lot of folks don't like to do this. But there is things that we cannot do. And God says He'll never call us to do the things that we can't do. But we need to be found busy doing those things that we can. For truly the Lord loves us. And He says here in verse 5, we have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. You got 300 or better major religions, but it doesn't make any difference. There's just one God. There's one Jesus. There's one baptism. There's one faith. There is one way for us to get to heaven. There's one way for all to get to heaven. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There is only one. There is only one way. And we have done this by and large, as we said here this morning. But what about those that have not? Do we get concerned? Are we concerned about those that have not accepted the Lord? What can we do that maybe would help those that have not yet come to accept the Lord? Is there anything that we can do? Have we come to the point in life to where we maybe think there is nothing that we can do? I would hope not. Because there is so much that we can do. Forbearing one another in love, in verse 2. It begins with love. It's hard to speak with someone and be concerned about someone if we don't genuinely love them. We really are not concerned about people that we don't love. I hear the obituary column sometimes, and I hear names, and then I go on. But sometimes I hear the obituary column, and there's a name on there of someone that I know or love. And I see it different. I listen closer. It has more meaning. Does that mean the other names that I heard this morning, I don't know any of them, that I don't care? I care, but I don't know them. We all care. We hate to hear it. But when we hear these names, is it people that saved or unsaved? I don't know. I don't know them. I never knew the people. But sometimes I hear names on there and I can know deep in my heart that these people knew the Lord. And it makes a difference to me. And I think it makes a difference to all of us. Because if we're forbearing one another in love, love, the Bible says, is the greatest commandment. We must love one another. If we do this, if we love one another, are concerned about one another. The Bible is so full of love. It continually talks about love. We can set up this morning and talk about the other side of the hell side and what's going to happen. But you see, in all good things begin with love. We've got to love one another. We have to be concerned about one another. When we are love one another, when you love those that you see about you, you'll be concerned about them. You'll want to know that they are all right. Recently, this church heard about a family, and the outpouring was tremendous. The love was great to provide food and clothing and items for this family to help them over a bad spot. And they were helped and helped greatly, and they greatly appreciate what was done by folks here at this church and other people. It was a good show of love. People know who we are, where we're at, not by name, but they know about the church because there was a great show of love on a scale that it meant something. It helped someone when they needed help. And you were there, and you did this thing, and it's appreciated, and it helped. But sometimes a phone call means as much to another person as a food item because they don't need food items. They need the kind word. They need to know that they have someone to lean upon. The older folks, they're now saying that our senior citizens. The biggest battle they got is not the medical bill. The biggest thing they have to overcome is the loneliness that they've been have to put up with. They can't get out in the wintertime. So much they can't do anymore. They have all of this. Can we love them enough to call them? Sometimes just a phone call, you see, to break up the monotony. A lot of our folks like to get phone calls. Sometimes, and one time, and I was a Sunday school teacher out at Thomas Eaton Baptist Church out there, Eaton Hills Baptist Church in Texas, that's where it was. And I missed a little boy a couple of Sundays. And he came back, and I told him I missed him, been missing him. He said, well, I've been in the hospital and had surgery. So he didn't miss 2 weeks. He'd been in the hospital. If I'd have called and checked on him, I'd have went and visited him, but didn't do that. And it bothers me a lot because I didn't. You see, I didn't know. I'd have went to see him, but I didn't know. If I'd have called him, I would have known. I'd have done better. I could have done better. There was no reason why that I did not do better, except probably never entered my mind after I left there. So when we look around and see the things that we can do, the dedication that we can have toward God, it is a personal thing. It is an individual thing. It is available to every one of us. We all have the capacity to love. We all have the capacity to be concerned. It is within us all to do this daily. This is the biggest thing that we can do. And I know in our church here we have a lot of love, tremendous love, and a lot of concern and a lot of care. And I think that if we hear about things or know about things through love, we try to do the best that we can do for folks about us, for people, for the things in our community. And I believe we do this. But it just might be that we could do a better job if we looked out and sought after things. Paul didn't wait for it to come to him, see? Paul went looking. Paul went looking for areas that he could be in service for God. Paul looked for things that he could be involved in. Paul looked for opportunities for him to speak, to say a word for the Lord. Paul didn't stand back. He went looking. The opportunities for each and every person to serve the Lord exist here this morning, in this community, throughout the county. The opportunities are all there. We have as much going on in this county and probably don't have 20% of the people in this community or in this county in any worship service this morning, counting anything you want to count. I wouldn't believe that we would come up anywhere near 20% of the people, the population of Perry County, would be in church this morning. They're not in church, but they want the Ten Commandments on the wall. Which way is a greater service? And I'm not saying take the Ten Commandments down. I'm just saying they're there on the wall. Putting them on the wall is good reading. Putting them into action is everlasting. It gets you to heaven, and it allows you to take folks along with you. Paul didn't just write the book. It's kind of a thing that he told people. He was going out and giving people these words. You see, where are we at? Are we content to put words and put tracts? Or are we content to just see it go by? Or do we really and truly realize we're going to have Pearl Couch down to talk to us about drugs? Now, this far back in the mountains, you'd think that we don't have no drug problem. But they arrested about 40-some here not long ago, just people out here selling it. So it's as much here as it is anywhere. We have as much of a problem. Sin is where people can get the dollar. The Bible tells us about the lust of money, the want of money. Not money, the want of money. So it's here, it's everywhere we go. What is our standard when we go to measure up? What is our concern? Is it just words or is it forbearing one another in love? Are we really and truly concerned? Do we really? I know that we really want to do good. I know that we have accepted the Lord as our Savior. But are we looking for an opportunity to serve the Lord? Are we waiting for the opportunity to come my way? When we pray, oftentimes we pray, Lord, do this and Lord, do that. Paul prayed, Lord, do this, Lord, do that. But the difference oftentimes was that Paul put feet to his prayers. When he prayed, Lord, let's do this, he went out and went to work on trying to get it done. Paul worked. He sought the will of God. And once Paul knew the will of God, he pushed out. We know the will of God, for it says that I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path that's going to get us to heaven. We know what the calling of Christ is, to be faithful, to be witnesses, to do what we can do, to keep the many, many from going the broad path, to get them on the narrow. That's our calling. That's what we need to do in our own way. And we all have our way. We're all different. We need to have the love and the concern and the care in our hearts for those that are about us, as well as those that's here with us. We need not slack anyone because we have the capacity to love all, to be concerned with all. We can, and that's the calling that God is giving us, I believe, here this morning, is that we be interested in all that is about us for Christ. And someone once said that if they took us to court and tried us for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict us? We need to make sure